Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Factor. If you want to eat better this year and are looking for fast, healthy, restaurant-quality meals that are ready to eat and easy on your budget, Factor is the perfect solution. Sign and save right now by going to factormeals.com/talktv50 and use code TALKTV50 to get 50% off your order. That's code TALKTV50 at factormeals.com/talktv50 to get 50% off.
Hi, this is Paul Dooley. You're listening to TV Confidential. Good luck.
When the day is dawning, on a Texas Sunday morning.
Ed Robertson with a reminder that Grammy Award-winning singer, songwriter, and actress Melissa Manchester will join us in our second hour. Please stay tuned for that. In the meantime, and speaking of legends of the music industry, on the line with us right now is Harvey Lisberg. Harvey Lisberg, legendary manager of Herman's Hermits, 10cc, Tony Christie, and other legendary artists. I'm Into Something Good, My Life Managing 10cc, Herman's Hermits, and many more by our guest Harvey Lisberg, available wherever books are sold, omnibuspress.com, as well as amazon.com. And you mentioned Don Kirshner, the man with the golden ear. He paid you one of the best compliments possible. He said you have a golden ear, Harvey. You know, I mean, they say a hit's a hit. You know when you... Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they say a hit's a hit. You know it when you hear it. What do you look for, Harvey, when, not that you go about saying, I'm going to find a hit today, but when you hear a song for the first time that you think has potential, what do you listen for?
It's a gift. It's just lucky. You know, I mean, I hear songs and I know that, I can't tell you, it's funny to say that, but I do. I suppose, you know, when you hear a song for the first time, like House of the Rising Sun, you just know it's there. I'm Not in Love. You know, those are just magnificent songs. Or I can go through 10 in the Summertime by Mungo Jerry, or Without You, you know, with Sinead O'Connor. I mean, there are songs, if you hear them, and to my ears, I just think, wow. It's usually the atmosphere of the song and the timing and everything. I've never thought about it, quite honestly. Mickey Most had fantastic ears as well, and he had ears, and you've got songs from all over the place. I don't really know how to answer that question. I honestly think it's a gift that I have been given, God-given gift, you know, and that helped me a lot in my career. I mean, it really did, especially with Graham Gouldman initially. When it was finished For Your Love, I mean, I said, I've got to get that to the Beatles, it's a number one. And they said, the Beatles aren't going to do it. What are you talking about? I said, that's a number one. And he hadn't had a hit. Right. He hadn't had a hit or anything. I was co-writing with Graham, and I said to him, why do you write a song on the chords of House of the Rising Sun, which really, I really liked a lot of the chords. And every guitarist played those four chords. Anybody at Bedecker was playing that song. Graham changed the last chord surreptitiously. You could hardly tell. very minutely, and then started doing this for a love thing. And I said, what about the medal? And, you know, how about a chair break? And then he did a rock and roll bit, and then we got the thing finished. And I say, right, that's going to the Beatles. Graham thought I was mad. Well, I was mad. It doesn't mean you have to be a bit crazy to be in this business. Right, so we said, well, we're going to go and see the Beatles, Graham. I got tickets for the Hammersmith Odeon. We went down to London to the Hammersmith Odeon, and behind me is a publisher called Ronnie Beck, who published this song, which I'd given it in. And I turned around to him, I said, I want you to go and see the Beatles after the show, at the interval, give them a demo, see what they think of it. He comes back sheepishly after the interval, intermission, whatever it was, and says, would you mind very much if I played it to the Yardbirds? I said, no way. I'm not interested in the Yardbirds. Who knew? They're a rhythm and blues band. Never heard of them. What are you going to be up the act on the Beatles show? That's for the Beatles. It's the number one. So he was a bit disappointed. He said, well, would you speak to their manager? Well, who's he? Giorgio Gomolski. I said, OK, I'll speak to him. So I meet this guy, character, looks like Rasputin. And he charmed me, and he said, can I please try it? Just try it with the Yardbirds. And I thought, oh, all right, if you must. Anyhow, Eric Clapton left the band as a result of that. He was in the Yardbirds originally. He couldn't stand the idea of not doing pure blues. He was interested in doing pop music. Jeff Beck, a fair substitute, came in, and the record was magnificent. Brian Auger was also in it. I managed Julie Driscoll later, who also was with the Brian Auger Trinity. Everything was interconnected in those days. When you think about it, that's why it's so difficult to stay on one subject, because so much was going on every day. Something else happened. You know, it was exciting time.
Well, it also speaks to the fact that you've lived a very rich life and have left your imprint on our culture in so many ways. You have a lot of things to talk about, and there's only so much we can cover in one conversation. Maybe later in the year, if your schedule allows and your interest allows, you'll come back and visit us again on our program.
That would be lovely. I enjoyed doing it, yeah.
Okay.
Anytime.
All right. Harvey Lisberg is on the line with us. Harvey Lisberg, legendary music manager. Harvey's memoir, I'm Into Something Good, My Life Managing 10cc, Herman's Hermits, many more, available wherever books are sold, through omnipress.com as well as amazon.com. One more question, and I'll circle this in before we close, because I do want to ask you, because it relates to some of the things we've been talking about. Okay, you very modestly said it's a gift. You don't know how to explain your musical ear, but there.
Well, I know how to explain my musical ear, but where it came from, I do know that.
Okay.
What you want to know? Yeah, well, that came from originally, obviously, from the synagogue choir, right? My father blasting Italian music opera through the house. My best friend next door playing classical music all the time. Me playing the guitar, the piano. Music was everything. And even when I was very younger, I remember my grandmother standing in front of a record player. Said, I was very musical from that point of view. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this: is there an art to matching a song with a particular artist?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Mickey Mouse was the genius at that. Unbelievable. He got hits for Donovan, Herman's Hermits, Nashville Teens, Hot Chocolates. He knew how to put, like, the Silhouettes, which was a hit for the, I think it was the Bob Crew generation, which was way, like, 10 years earlier. He gave that to Herman. That will fit you. That will do well. He had that ability, and I had the ability to pick the hit. I couldn't get the hit with my acts, like I said, with For Your Love. I wanted that to go to the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
That goes without saying, because I thought it was worthy of that. But Bus Stop, which I got, you know, as a demo of Bus Stop while Graham's playing it to me, I got that. And I thought, wow, that's great for Herman's Hermits. Mickey Mouse rejected it. So, you know, what do you do? Then it was a hit for the Hollies, and the things like that. I knew which were, I had the hits, but I didn't mean to say I could turn the songs into hits. I knew the songs were hits, but I had because eventually, if my job is to get the songs to whoever is going to do it.
And one of your jobs as the manager is to give the producer, the Mickey Mouse of the world, room to do what they do as part of the team.
Everything I was involved with turned to gold. I can't believe it sounds crazy. I'm going to send a good word to number one. Mickey Mouse, I met before we signed with Mickey Mouse, the house where I didn't see come out, that went to number one.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I went on a roulette wheel, I won. It was pathetic. I mean, every single thing, it was a part of my life where I could do no wrong. I mean, we went to a casino, my mother-in-law and father-in-law, Carl and myself, were in London, were at a casino. And it was like 3 a.m, and I kept winning, and I kept saying, well, you know, we're going, I lose one each time we were that way when we won. I said, well, when I lose one, we'll stop. Anyhow, we had to stop anyhow in the morning, and it paid for their trip and everything. It was crazy. I mean, everything was just crazy in those days. It wasn't, and also then you've got to imagine all the young people were doing really well. People weren't waiting for others to die to get their jobs. There's a revolution, a youth revolution. There was a lot of energy. You know, it's not like that now.
No.
No comparison to the 60s now.
No, and...
Maybe also because in those days, artists did other people's music.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a massive amount of songs, which you won't get today.
Harvey Lisberg writes about the music scene in the 60s, a time when not only London, but the United States and other countries embraced all things British. It's one of many, many stories that he shared in his marvelous new book, I'm Into Something Good, My Life Managing 10cc, Herman's, and many more. I'm Into Something Good, Harvey's book, available wherever books are sold, omnibuspress.com, as well as Amazon.com. Harvey, I mean it. I enjoyed chatting with you. I hope we'll have a chance to chat with you again later this year on TV Confidential.
That will be fabulous. Nice talking to you as well.
Thank you.
Hope your listeners enjoy it.
Thank you. And if everything you touch turns to gold, that means this interview was gold.
No, I hope you're right. I didn't count about that. There's 7 years of plenty, and then there are the lean years.
Well, but look, it's all good. And when you write about the misses, you write about it with perspective and wisdom. You know what I'm saying? And it's like sometimes you have to decide, okay, this may not be the best move for me. And if it turns out, like in the case of Andrew Lloyd Rice and Webber, no one could have predicted they would have blown up as they did. But you made what you thought was the best decision at the time. And, you know, you went with it.
Yeah, well, Mickey, they came to see me in my office with a chat for Herman Hermits. I know we're going a bit further on, but I'll just finish it up. So it was called I Fancy You.
Mm-hmm.
And they came up to my office and they said, well, Herman did. I said, well, I'll ask Mickey Mouse. And Mickey Mouse rejected it immediately. And it was subsequently number one for Jason Donovan. So nobody's infallible. I mean, even if you pick it, the reason he didn't pick it might be because of publishing or God knows what. But anyhow, it's a long story about the Jesus Christ Superstar. I don't think we'll do that on another occasion, shall we?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm Into Something Good, My Life Managing 10cc, Herman's, and many more by our guest, Harvey Lisberg, available wherever books are sold, omnibuspress.com, as well as amazon.com. I thank you so much for your time, Harvey. And I wish you continued success with the book and all good things.
Okay, thank you very much. Very nice talking to you.
Melissa Manchester will join us during hour number two of TV Confidential. Please stay with us. Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or @TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.